Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
I mean, honestly, I don't even care who's out there. I'm looking forward to whooping their ass either way.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. There's no reason to duck.
And Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hi, welcome in to the Take the North podcast along with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan and I just got off a conference call with the brand new coordinators. Those would be the offensive coordinator, Declan Doyle, 28. Also, you had the defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen. He was with us today, and he's not new. But he's still here. It's a new version of Richard Hightower. He is back. So we got a chance to talk to all three of the coordinators today. We got plenty of audio to play for you of what the guys were saying and our reactions as well. Weedsy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing math right now, Grody. And if my math is correct, there have been 17 coordinators during my time covering the Chicago Bears.
My God.
So that's offense, defense, and special teams. This is not new for me, these introductory days with the coordinators here. And it's crazy to go down the list on all three phases and see names like, Chuck Pagano, Sean Desai, Adam Gase, Dowell Loggins, Mark Helfrich, Jeff Rogers. That, like, it's a who's who, right? Like, and here we are again with Dennis Allen and Declan Doyle and Richard Hightower, who we obviously know very well at this point. But yeah, scratching the surface with a whole new set of introductions and trying to get to know everybody. And it's quite a process, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I am not sure who the most interesting today was or where I get the biggest reactions. I guess the guy who has the most power will be the defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, because Dennis Allen obviously will be calling plays. He will be giving his input and his version of the 4-3 defense. And today, answering a lot of the same questions that were asked midway through about last year. How are you going to get to the quarterback? How are you going to make this defense better? I felt like when he was going through the Bears defense, very generalized, Dan. It was like I like a couple players in the secondary. I like a couple of their linebackers. I like a couple of guys on the defensive line. And he wasn't necessarily specifying guys, but that tells me that when he just mentions a couple of guys at each position that he likes, it tells me that there's a little ways to go in terms of getting the right alignment, the right personnel in place for the Bears here right now. It's hard to tell who exactly he likes and what changes he'd like to see. Well,
yeah, I mean, like a couple things on that front. First and foremost, I think the only player he named by name was Kyler Gordon. Right. And like, it's clear that he was impressed by what he knows about and has seen from Kyler Gordon, but it was the only guy he named. Did I miss somebody else?
As did Ben Johnson. Like Ben Johnson name checked Kyler Gordon. He name checked Jalen Johnson as well. But I think that's one thing for sure is that it's hard to deny the Bears secondary. I don't think we're going into this season as enthusiastic maybe as we did last year with the secondary, going into camp. I mean, it was hands down the best position on the field, maybe still is, but I guess that's a pretty good place to start for these coaches. Easy place to start.
Right. So start buying your Kyler Gordon stock. They're going to be utilizing him to the fullest capabilities. And then along with that, just the generalized sort of lens on this is a reminder at how new these guys are to the building and how little time they've had to truly immerse themselves in all things Bears. And so right now, you and I know the Bears personnel way better than the Bears coaching staff does. And so that's just a reminder of how much they have ahead of them in terms of the work they have to do, the studying they have to do, the communicating they have to do to figure out who fits and who doesn't. And like I've been getting questions over the last week about, okay, you know, what do they need on the offensive line and who do they need? And you're like, I don't know because they don't know yet, mm-hmm. right? Like they have to do all their evaluations. They have to figure out the style that they like to play and who fits and who doesn't. And it was certainly the case with Dennis Allen today. Look, like he told you flat out, Grody, that he's going to be a head coach defensive coordinator who's been a certain way on that side of the ball for a long time, which is aggressive and attacking and trying to affect the quarterback. And that's going to be the same as Dennis Allen takes over the play calling of the Bears defense. I did think it was also notable that he was really pushing the idea that, look, like we've got good size and length in the secondary and with our corners, right? And we like to play a lot of man coverage. We have versatility in our safeties, which will help. And I think he said there's a couple things in the linebacking group that are encouraging. But that was it as far as notes, right? It wasn't very specific, very generalized.
Yeah, no doubt. And let's use that as the background and your knowledge, you the listener, you the viewer of the Take the North podcast, for listening to this cut from Dennis Allen and understanding that it has to still do a full study, a full evaluation on this Bears defense. But what is he doing or what is he thinking in terms of building that Bears defense and what they have to do to get there?
I think we're always looking for talent acquisition, player acquisition, guys that we feel like can come in and fit into our system that can help us grow as a defensive line. But what our job is as coaches, our job is to develop. We're going to take the pieces that we have in place. We're going to add the necessary ingredients that we need to create what we need to be able to do from a defensive standpoint. So I'm excited about working with the guys that we have, and I'm looking forward to working with, you know, Ryan and his staff to see if we can't find some pieces to add to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. It's bringing free agents. It's development's a big thing, and I guess development is kind of a huge thing on this defense because it's a matter of whether it will work or will it not work. And I'm talking about Jervon Dexter. I'm talking about Zach Pickens. I'm talking about guys like that who do need developing. And if they don't go to the next level, then that's a big hole in your defense as we wait to find out about those types of guys and who still the forever question, who else is getting to the quarterback other than Montez Sweat and some of the creativity that we saw last year with Matt Eberflus anyway.
Right. And look, I think that you and I probably have both drawn similar conclusions to some of the comments that Rick Smith, the agent for Ben Johnson, has made publicly in the last week in terms of vision and the head coach's vision being what matters more than anything else. And so what you hear in those statements is that it really doesn't matter overall what Ryan Poles thought or thinks of player X, Y, or Z, that Ben Johnson has to put his eyes on those players. And now by extension, his coaching staff has to, and then they have to make a decision. And then that decision has to be the guiding force of what you do. And so when you name guys like Zach Pickens or Jerron Dexter, you got to figure out, do they fit? Do they fit first and foremost in what Dennis Allen wants from his defensive tackles? You know, and if not, okay, how do you either get them to adapt to what is needed or pivot in a new direction? Because that's what happens with new regimes. And that's what I think Chicago has to brace themselves for, as hard as it is to do again. This is a reboot. It's not a full reboot like we've done several times over the past, you know, 20 years or so, but it is a reboot. And there's going to be some moments where you're like, oh, God, that's definitely a major change to what they're trying to do and the people they're trying to do it with. And so we'll just kind of sit back, obviously, through the spring and summer, watch how that all unfolds. They've got to go into the free agency waters and the draft in April with a plan. But I don't think that plan's going to be real crystallized or that vision completely sharp, because they don't have a lot of time to get there. It's, you know, the last couple days of January here, and then you're just going full steam ahead to try to create that vision.
And the tricky question for the Bears defense right now is, did they get bad or did it turn out to be a bad season? That's what it is.
Because, right.
I mean, we all saw it, Dan. This looked like a pretty strong defense towards the end of last year. There couldn't have been more hype from the players and really, you know, from us to a certain degree, because we were touting how well the defense was relative to the offense, especially in training camp. So I think that's what complicates it more. It would be pretty tough if this defense just wasn't it. If you invested the money you did in DJ Williams, as well as, or Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards, man.
Boy. DJ Williams, you took me way in the Wayback Machine. The cold tub time machine was really working overtime today.
Wow, I got myself tangled up there in a big way. Investing in those two guys. Jalen Johnson ain't going anywhere. You know, you do wonder about the corner opposite of him. Is Smitty, is Terrell Smith going to start to get a little bit more playing time? We know that they love Kyler Gordon. Is Jaquan Brisker going to be back? So a lot of the questions that you and I are asking, I'm sure DA, if I may, is probably asking those questions as well.
No, and you bring up some good points. Like, the Bears were really good in the red zone. They were a top three red zone defense in 2024, but that was about the only thing they could hang their hat on. They went from a league best 22 interceptions in 2023 to half of that this last season. That's a big fall off. They went from number one in the league against the run to 28th. That's a big fall off. You mentioned the strong finish at the end of 2023, where the last eight games of that season, they averaged 17.1 points against during that closing stretch, which gave you belief that they were moving in the right direction. Well, it spiked up to 24.7 points per game allowed during the 10-game losing streak that torpedoed the season. And so Dennis Allen's got work to do, and he's got to figure out who fits where and how his style, you know, sort of acclimates around the talent that they have and how the talent that they have acclimates around the style. And that's going to take work, and it's going to take time together, and you're not going to get together with the players until April. You're not really going to get on the field, you know, in a very serious manner until May. And so you've got to do some guesswork here in the short term to go through all that. So, yeah, I mean, look, like you heard from Dennis Allen today, some optimism. He obviously said that when Ben Johnson reached out to him about being his defensive coordinator, this was before there was an actual job in play. It was like, hey, as I go out and interview for jobs, would you be my DC? And he said Chicago was one of the places where he saw pieces to be good quickly. And so that's obviously a feather in the Bears' cap. We'll see what it all means as they get down to business here soon.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm looking back through my notes here, and I think that Doyle, or was it Doyle? Doyle mentioned that it was at the beginning or earlier this year that he thought maybe there could be a chance that he could hook up with Ben Johnson. It just makes me wonder, like, how long has Ben Johnson been looking at this job, and how long has he had him in mind as well?
Well, looking at any job, right? Like, and so that's the situation. Like, we know Ben Johnson was high on the coaching radar a year ago in that hiring cycle. And so you start to put together your plans. You start to try to figure out who you could work with. I was curious for a while about the connection between Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen, Grody. And I know we've talked about this on the podcast. Like, our ears perked up in the Ben Johnson fireside chat when he said, yeah, never coached with Dennis. In fact, they haven't really met him.
Yeah. Yes.
And so we learned today that those connections are essentially Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn, who I had not known this before today. Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn both played football at Texas A&M. Dennis Allen played football at Texas A&M. He was a teammate of both of them at different times in his career at Texas A&M. So they knew each other from way back in the college days, then obviously coached together in New Orleans under Sean Payton for five seasons, 2016 to 2020. And so those two guys could be a really good intermediary of letting Ben Johnson know about Dennis Allen and Dennis Allen know about Ben Johnson. And then he also mentioned, Dennis Allen did, Terrell Williams, who's now the defensive coordinator in New England. He was this last season the defensive line coach in Detroit, and he was on Dennis Allen's staff in Oakland back years ago when Dennis Allen was the head coach in Oakland. And so those are the men that Dennis Allen sort of referenced as the bridge builders that united him and Ben Johnson. Now Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen have to unite for real, and they have to get together in a room and they have to figure out, okay, how does this work? How does this look?
Yeah.
How much can I trust you to handle the entirety of the defense? How much do I have to intervene? Where are we going from here? And so I thought that was interesting today to kind of learn about that connection. And I also think it's interesting from the standpoint of, I'm assuming that if Dan Campbell recommended Dennis Allen to Ben Johnson at some point, he wasn't assuming that they'd both be coaching against him in the same division. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So that may have been an endorsement that he might want to take back.
No doubt. I figured it out. I could be more specific now about something that Dennis Allen said, because you asked the question about, you know, Ben Johnson not knowing Dennis Allen, because that's what he told us during the roundtable session that he had, that they hadn't talked. Dennis Allen said specifically, quote, "At some point, as we get later in the season, or as we got later in the season, he reached out to me to see if I'd be interested."
So,
I'm not saying that Ben Johnson was specifically talking about the Bears staff, but it is interesting that Ben Johnson was putting the band together with whichever team it might end up being. But I just have this it in my head that Ben Johnson was thinking he was going to get the Bears job, and maybe he tipped off DA too at some point.
Well, I think he was going to get some job, right? And so, like, it's paramount that when you start the interviewing process, they're going to say, question three, who could you bring as your coordinators? Is your dream staff? And you better have answers for that. And so I think that's where those conversations begin. I think this is also notable. 2023, Dennis Allen went up against Ben Johnson in a duel. The Lions scored touchdowns on the first three possessions. They got out to a fast 21-0 lead, and they ended up holding on for a 33-28 win. But I went back and watched those highlights yesterday, and it was like, holy cow, that's like, you know, we've seen it here for a couple of years. When the Detroit offense gets humming, it's humming. And so when you score 21 points in the first 7 minutes of a football game, that's going to catch anyone's attention, and it obviously caught.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But Dennis Allen's.
No doubt. This is a good time to switch over to Declan Doyle and hear from him. And I think one of the cuts that I grabbed here for the podcast, just one from him, because I think this is the question that, you know, obviously was asked during the press conference. It's one that you and I will be investigating as time goes on. What is it that Declan Doyle will do? He is the offensive coordinator, but he is not calling plays. So that does leave his duties a bit on the ambiguous side. Declan Doyle did his best to answer the question. So let's start with that for our base here.
First and foremost, you said table setting role. I think that's a great way to describe it. Ben is going to have less time than he's ever had as a play caller. And so, you know, obviously, I think that's kind of a thing that's morphing as we go. We'll kind of figure out what that looks like. But my job is really going to be to organize in detail, the game plan initially, utilizing, you know, our staff. Everybody will have different assignments, kind of how we are going to build this thing with schematically as we attack a defense. But basically, I have to do that work that he's not going to have time to do. And he's going to have to be able to trust me that I'm going to be able to give him the correct information that he needs as a decision maker. And then, you know, really throughout the week, streamlining the teaching progression for the players, making sure that everything is built around them. You know, myself, Ben, and the rest of the staff, we're not going to take a snap this year. We have to make sure that our players understand their toolbox so that they can go out and play fast and play at a high level.
Yep. So he'll be, you know, Declan Doyle laid it out there, but that is about as rough of a rough draft as can be. And I don't mean that in any kind of negative way. That Ben Johnson will figure out specifically what he needs from Declan Doyle. And it sounds like it could be a lot. I mean, Ben Johnson's going to have a ton on his plate. So basically, just to make it easy and dumb it all down, Declan Doyle is the assistant. He is, in true form, the assistant to Ben Johnson's whims and wants and needs on the practice field.
So of the six seasons that Declan Doyle has been coaching in the NFL, five of them have been on the staff with Sean Payton. Sean Payton is a play-calling head coach. So now Declan Doyle has had the opportunity for the last 2 years in Denver to see how Joe Lombardi handles the offensive coordinator role for a play-calling head coach. He had, for three seasons in New Orleans, the chance to see how longtime Sean Payton assistant Pete Carmichael Jr. handled the offensive coordinator role for a play-calling head coach. And so it was interesting for him to say that, like, look, like, some of this is about keeping really sharp, open lines of communication and making sure that goes. And then talking about the direct messaging of what they are trying to accomplish offensively, both between the coaching staff and then onward to the players. And I think that that's an important role here. It'd be really interesting to see how it kind of unfolds and evolves as they get going here and what sort of priorities that Ben Johnson pushes onto Declan Doyle's plate. I'll ask you this, Grody, because probably the most notable thing for me about this afternoon's press conferences were you had Dennis Allen sit down for his Zoom call and you're like, okay, that's a dude in his 50s who's been a multiple-time head coach and a longtime coordinator who's just been there, done that. And then a little while later, Declan Doyle sits down and you're like, oh man, that dude looks like he's 28. And then he gives an opening statement. And you're like, oh, that dude looks like he and sounds like he's never had to give the opening statement at a press conference before, right? Like,
right. So
there's going to be some transition here. I'm not saying that Declan Doyle can't handle it, but it was like an in-your-face reminder of like, yeah, he's going to be green in this role for the immediate future. And he's going to have to get used to all these things. Like, the season's going to start and Declan Doyle's going to have to stand up every Thursday and face the barrage of intimidating questions that you like to ask from the right side of the room there at Ellis Hall. He's going to have to learn how to spar with Mark Potash, you know, like this is going to be part of the process. He's a forward facing voice of this team now. And so I don't know. Did it strike you as much as it did me when that Zoom camera came on and you're like, oh God, like, this
totally, young. totally. Then I actually went on the website afterwards and it was even more jarring to see him relative to some of the other older faces that exist. But one of the questions that was asked of him that I thought was a good question, and I thought he gave as good of an answer as he possibly could, is, look, you're coming into a team or a locker room that wanted more accountability, that wanted harder coaching, that didn't want guys to be soft. How, as a 28-year-old coming in here who looks like a 28-year-old, how are you going to get the respect of the players? And I think he said that last year was the first time that he was older than everybody actually in the meeting room. And, you know, basically said knowledge is power. And basically he's got to, just like Ben Johnson seems to have done, he's got to get a lot of respect fast from these players. That's for sure.
Yeah. I also highlighted that three-word phrase, knowledge is power, because it's the expression of somebody that knows that you need to have answers for players. And that's what they're going to respect more than anything, is if they have questions, you need to give them answers. And that knowledge has to translate into what you guys are trying to accomplish collectively and what the players are trying to accomplish individually. It's going to be a new role for Declan Doyle, no doubt about it. And we'll see kind of how he handles it. Overnight, we got the word that Press Taylor was coming to join the Bears as their passing game coordinator. So there's another coordinator in the mix that we'll get to know sometime up the road. And that gives you another voice and a guy that's done it, you know, in multiple places and been around a little bit that will help out, I'm sure, in that regard.
There's one more coordinator that we have to get to who is a familiar name coordinator. Speaking of names, by the way, we have some serious name controversy that we need to get to.
Let's get to that at the end, because we do need to get to that.
Oh, yeah. Something very serious happened during the press conference, which was on Zoom today, and it happened to the characters on this program here.
Yeah, not, so, obviously not a loyal Take the North listener. We're going to have to send along the introduction to this podcast just to, you know, it's like the quarterbacks, right? They've got to master the play calls. We need to get Bears PR representative Kellen Webster to get in the mirror and say our names repeatedly.
Yeah, seriously.
We'll get to that in a minute.
We will.
We'll go first to Dan Wheatier.
There's a tease for you.
Wheatier?
Stand by.
Let's just stay there. Let's just go. Who else here is on this podcast? Dan Wheatier and who?
Yeah, who to Mark Grody from the Score?
Oh, my.
Thank you. Hey, Dennis.
I just say, play that again, please, Studs. I need you to play one more time. I need the momentum. Play
who to Mark Grody from the Score?
Thank you. Hey, Dennis.
I got to tell you, like, I don't know, maybe I was in some sort of auto mode or something, but I, in real time, as you could tell, by the way, I didn't even hiccup. I did not notice that he groated me and that he asked me if I was at the Score. I guess I was just so like ready to ask my question that I didn't notice it. And I started getting a couple, including from Adam Studzinski, laughing his ass off. And I was like, oh shit, that is funny.
So yours felt like it could have been more of a Zoom hiccup. Like it was like a little, you know, a little bandwidth issue where mine was just a straight up absolute mispronunciation of the last name. And the first time it happened, I was like, okay, I get it. It's sometimes hard to say. The second time it happened, I'm like, you don't know my last name. So
yeah,
off we go.
You know, it's a tough thing, man. It's a little shot to the ego, but also it's like, come on, man. Come on, Kellen. You know us. I talk to this guy every day, and I'm pretty sure Kellen calls me like a lot of people do. And I have Grody. No problem with this. He calls me Grody.
Most I'm calling you Groat from now on.
Trust me, I've had plenty of groat throughout the life. I just, you know, let me hear Wheaters again really quick here. Was a Wheatera.
Thanks, Coach. We'll go first to Dan Wheatier.
Wheatier. I mean, look, I your name can be a little bit of a handful sometimes, but like, yeah, after a year, man, that rookie tag needs to be taken away, Kellen. So
yeah, I'll just tell you, this will be a shout out to the junior high days, and I'm actually going to name Shannon Sponigal on this podcast for about 3 months of my junior high life, calling me Wiener Eater. Like that was the name that was the name they threw at me in junior high. Like that didn't feel Wiener great Eater at the time, right? Like so Whittier is kind of an upgrade at this moment, and we'll roll forward.
Well, do you remember? Well, it still exists actually. There's a word named Grody that means gross, and people used to say Grody
to the max. 100%.
So that hit me like pre junior high. It never got that bad, but it was like, yeah, that's something I've always had to deal with. But so, and but the telemarketers, it's gross. So I've had a lifetime of gross. So Kellen is not unique in that. I just thought he was better than that. That's all.
You know who has never heard the phrase Grody to the max? Declan Doyle. No chance.
You're far too young. Richard Hightower is the Bears special teams coach. He is back. I legitimately think it's an accomplishment in any sport when a new manager comes in and say, you know what, I'd like you to stay, unless it's in a contract, unless there was pressure put on. But I think it's impressive when you last more than one regime, and that's what Hightower has done. So let's hear from Richard on him being back. How'd you do it, buddy?
Well, in this business, you never, ever know. I'm on a one-day contract. That's how I look at everything. And I've been looking at it for 19 years now, or what is coming up on, I think. I lose track of it. Maybe 18, 19, 20 years. I'm thinking on a one-day contract because I'm trying to get better every day, and I'm trying to help our players get better every day. So I don't think about where I'm going to be, any of that stuff. I just put my best foot forward, one foot in front of the other, and try to make people around me better. And on top of that, with Ben, and it's just magic. We hit it off from the jump when we talked and when he called. And I'm grateful for his transparency. And all I want to do is help Ben Johnson win games. That's all I want to do.
And that's how you survive multiple regimes. He is Richard Hightower. Is, I will say that for him, a loyal man, no matter who he has worked for. He has always displayed massive respect for the head coaches for whom he's worked. And he said that this will have been his third time that he's working for a first year head coach with Kyle Shanahan having been one of those. I assume, and then Matt Eberflus, right, man, and then hey, throwing Thomas Brown. I'm going to give him four.
Okay,
and then this one here, but you have to add the interim tag. But it's special teams. I get it. It's not that exciting, but Hightower is back, Dan.
I'm going to express a little bit of disappointment in Richard Hightower today because we spent a lot of the 2024 season asking him to recap some really low moments for the Bears. It started with Velus Jones kicking a kickoff to the other team in the season opener. There was a blocked field goal on the last play of a game against the Packers. There was another blocked field goal the next week. We were constantly having to revisit some dark special teams moments with Richard Hightower. And so I tried to lead him in here. This is like a little lob to the rim for a dunk here, saying, look, Richard, we have not talked to you since the Wednesday of week 18. Do you care to kind of relive the season-ending kick that beat the Packers at Lambeau Field and sent Cairo Santos leaping into the Lambeau Field stands? And his answer was, our focus is going ahead, all about the Bears from here on. Like, refused to take a victory lap on the biggest play of the biggest moment of the only win that the Bears had for the last 2.5 months of the season.
Right. It is quite ironic because those were the blocked field goal in Green Bay. Woo! That affected him in a big way, as we found out.
Right. I mean, you had a chance to revel in it and say, oh man, I couldn't believe it. Like Cairo, what, you know, I couldn't be happier for that young man. And we just went, our vision is forward. I mean, it's January 30th, HT. Yeah. Like, we don't have an opponent to prepare for. You don't have to put your focus on the first preseason game on January 30th. So this is my public reprimand to Richard Hightower. We'll visit at the combine, and I'll tell it to him face-to-face.
Yeah, it's like, you don't need to do the coachy-coach thing here right now. I mean, come on, man. You just survived. You just got a second contract, yo. Yeah. You're in good shape here.
Another one-day contract.
Exactly. So those are the coordinators, and the coordinators in this case probably not as splashy as they've been in the past, but they are obviously of heavy consequence. And Dan and I will continue to figure out where they fit in, what styles will be run, what kind of personnel will be necessary, as all that will become important as we are ahead of the combine still in the OTAs, but the coordinators are in place. I guess the theme is really, everything is starting to come into place for the Chicago Bears at this very moment.
It's all coming together.
It's all coming together, baby.
That's the theme. It's all coming together.
That's right. I can't guarantee it's going to be good, but it's all coming together. No doubt about it. Dan, unless there's anything else that you would like to add to the coordinators, because I think that we have definitely given them their due here for today. We will get on out of here. Let's get up on out of here. For Dan, Weederer of the Chicago Tribune. I'm Mark Grote of The Score. For Adam. For Adam Studzinski of the Take the North podcast. I am Mark Grote. Thank you for listening to and watching the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.